This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Welcome to All Rather Mysterious. We're back, everyone.
Yay, guess who's back.
Yeah, it's everyone's secret favourite podcast.
Very secret.
So they keep it very close to the chest.
Thank you.
The podcast aims to unlock the mysteries of the past with the key of fact. Bored of that now. My name is John Rain. Your name is?
David Reed.
Your name is?
Eleanor Mort.
And please join us as we present to you mysteries that have yada, yada, yada.
Blah, blah, blah.
We're going to bring you closure, essentially.
Yes.
In a roundabout way. Eleanor, you're going first.
I am.
And what have we got?
Well, today, first of all, I've got another lovely illustration, which I'll try not to...
Hello.
For the Twitter. It's there we go. It is... I'm doing the Versailles time slip of 1901, starring Charlotte Mobley and Eleanor Jourdain. I think Jordan, but I like to say Jourdain.
Jourdain.
Like Louis Jourdain.
Do you guys know this one?
No.
No.
Never heard.
Versailles time slip.
Versailles time slip.
It sounds like a released only on CD Doctor Who episode.
It is. That's what I'm doing.
Or a negligee.
The time slip.
Marie Antoinette's time slip.
It's a negligee, but also a digital watch.
It can monitor your heart rate. So it is, it's 1901.
And the time is?
I forgot to do, I was going to do that on purpose and then it'd be like, oh, she's owning it now. But I didn't.
You have owned it though.
Thank you. The date is August. Wait, that works actually. Okay. So our characters are two, I think you call them educationers. That's the word, right?
What?
Teachers. Well, so Charlotte Mobley, who was born in 1846, became the first principal of the Women's College St. Hugh's in Oxford in 1886. So she's quite a big cheese in the old women's education world.
Right.
And then Eleanor Jourdain.
Jourdain.
Born in 1863, is her new assistant, all right? So it's 1901. Eleanor's just been hired, and they decide, why don't we get to know each other by going on a fun girls' holiday?
Is that what they called it?
Yes, they were like, girls on tour. So luckily, Eleanor Jourdain owned an apartment in Paris, as we all do.
Oh, that's very lucky.
Isn't that nice? And so they thought, oh, we'll go there. We'll have a nice time in Paris. And they were both daughters of clergymen, coincidentally. Well, I think one of them was the daughter of a bishop. So they're quite religious. They're quite into that kind of stuff.
Did they go to the Moulin Rouge?
Yes. And they both reenacted some of their favourite scenes from the film.
Did they sing the Nirvana song?
They sang the Nirvana song.
Excellent.
Have you been to the Moulin Rouge?
No.
Hasn't it gone?
No, I think it's just quite tacky now.
They'll have rebuilt it if it had gone.
Didn't the original burn down?
I think the
elephant... Because of all the sexual energy.
Everything burned down in those days.
Yeah, friction. It was a friction fire.
It was Ewan McGregor's voice that did it.
Wouldn't...
My gift is my song!
Da,
too high for Ewan.
Say a word against Ewan.
I like Ewan.
It's a Ewan's mystery that he's not in Rocket Man.
Lisa's third cousin.
What?
Your third favourite or third?
No, third cousin, not favourite cousin.
Your friend's third cousin.
Mm, it's a very small
Why isn't he in this show?
It's a very small country.
Why isn't he here to stick up for himself?
But they decide, because they're classy in that they're going to go see Versailles Palace. Have you been? Guys, you been?
No.
No?
I've only been to Paris when I was very young, and I was dragged around a load of museums and art galleries and then went to sleep.
Yeah, it's very tiring.
Yeah.
Don't go as a child. They went to Versailles, which people may or may not know, is the big fancy palace that, let's see if I can get this right, Louis the 15th, possibly? One of the teen Louis, it wasn't a teen at the time, built Versailles for himself on a swamp, actually. Great idea.
That burnt down.
A lot of plumbing problems. So a great big gaudy palace full of gold and things, and people still go and see it now. It's all very nice. It's got lots of chandeliers, fancy stuff. But they wanted to go and see Marie Antoinette's Petit Trianon, which was her own personal tiny palace in the gardens, because Marie Antoinette liked to pretend she was a normal woman with a normal palace. And also she had a pretend farm where she would pretend to, like, milk the goats and collect eggs and things.
She pretend to?
Yeah.
Did she not milk the goats?
She mimed.
Were they real goats or were they servants dressed as goats?
That would have been fun. No, but the servants did...
all the actual legwork.
They hid the eggs around the place.
Oh, my God. They
would clean them up and then they would hide them.
This is enablement.
Oh.
It was very...
Marie Antoinette's really gone down in my
estimate. If they behaved themselves, did she let them eat cake?
Well, I don't know. Croissants, maybe.
Oh.
So she had all these little... Because the Versailles Gardens are huge, so she had all these little... extra bits just dotted around, and they thought, let's go visit the Petit Trianon. So, apparently they weren't impressed with Versailles the Palace, which is why they decided to go...
Snooty.
Yeah. I mean, it's just all made of gold. I don't see what's not impressive about that. But maybe, I don't know.
They found it gaudy.
I didn't go to Oxford, so...
Still bitter about it.
Yeah. Let it go.
So they went down to Le Petit Trianon, but they took a wrong turn and became lost in the huge gardens. And it was a hot day, and as they took this wrong turn, they began to see a number of strange things, which I shall now list.
Mm.
Mobley saw a woman shaking a sheet out of a window of a cottage.
Not that strange.
No.
And that's the whole thing. So what do we go?
My God.
What do you think? At the same time, Jourdain saw a farmhouse with an old plough outside. Wait, guys, wait. I'm going to do more. But
why are these in the list?
I'm going to tell you at the end.
Okay.
They both.
One of them saw an enormous palace in the distance.
One of them saw a woman and the other saw a woman and it was each other.
They're a reflection as if witchcraft in a mirror.
They both saw two palace gardeners in long greyish-green coats and three-cornered hats who apparently looked very dignified.
Right.
Who told them to go straight on. Then Jourdain...
Tis the devil, I tell you.
Gardeners!
Maybe it's just because it was French and just anything.
Right.
Jourdain saw... a woman and a girl standing in the doorway of a cottage holding a jug, but she described it like a tableau or waxwork. She said they were sort of frozen in the poses. And then they both saw a man at a kiosk. They both described him as having a rough, dark complexion and an air of evil about him.
They both used those exact words.
Mm, yes.
Okay.
In stereo. Yeah.
Together. He was like, that's kind of rude. They then saw a man with curly hair who directed them to the Petit Trianon. Mobley saw a woman sketching under a tree in a summer dress and hat. And at this point, they arrived at the Petit Trianon and continued their tour with the other visitors. During the whole event, they both described feeling an oppressive, unnatural atmosphere. And Mobley said that everything looked flat, lifeless. There were no effects of shade or light and no wind. So it was as if they'd sort of stepped into a sort of picture book. And the reason I mention all these seemingly innocuous things that they've seen is that only, for most of them, only one of them saw it. So when they got home after this, They sort of didn't really mention it. And I think about till a couple of months later, they kind of went... Remember that time we visited the Petit Trianon? Do you think it was weird that everyone was sort of wearing, like, 18th century clothes and, like, everything was weird and flat and we felt kind of sick? And they were like, yeah, it was. So what they did was they both made separate accounts of what happened and then they compared notes and they found that they didn't see exactly the same things. They both saw the two palace gardeners with the... three-cornered hats, sort of 17th century, 18th century clothes. They both saw the man with the evil air to him, apparently. Mm. And they both saw the man who directed them to the Petit Trianon, but only Mobley saw the woman under the tree. Only Mobley saw the woman shaking the sheet out of a window, and only Jourdain saw the farmhouse with the old plough outside. And they sort of started to realise that they may have been back in time.
Mm. Goodness me.
Yeah. I mean, that's a hell of a leap.
It is, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, is there more?
Well, no, I mean, that's all that happened. Shut up.
Sorry.
No, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm intrigued.
Right, so they make this list and they're like, well, why did... I'm not going to put this online. I've also tried... I was going to start drawing the woman with the sketchbook, but I got bored.
Ironically.
Yeah. the women didn't... So they didn't talk about it. And when they did, they found that they had both seen different things, but they both felt like they were having a weird kind of vision when it happened. So they revisited Versailles, but they could never retrace their steps. They couldn't find they couldn't find the kiosk or the bridge, and some of the landscape had changed, some of the paths were different. And they started to speculate that maybe they had seen visions of ghosts, because the day that they visited, which I believe was the 10th of August, was also the day, the anniversary of the massacre of the King's Swiss Guard. And they speculated that they may have been seeing some of the royal aristocrats in their last moments before the revolution.
Before they were massacred by a woman with a sheet out of a window.
Ma'am the plough.
And they speculated that the woman under the tree could have been Marie Antoinette, because she was wearing this sort of old-fashioned costume.
Sure.
So can I ask a question at this point? Marie Antoinette is dead at this point.
She is dead. She's right. about 110 years.
Sorry.
This is 1901, sorry.
1901, right.
Sorry, this is 1901.
I didn't pick up on that, I'm sorry. You probably said it.
No, I probably said right at the beginning and then I didn't say it again. Yes, this is 1901.
Right.
So this is Edwardian / Victorian. So this is way after the revolution, if you guys know history, which I know you do.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wrote a play about
I know, I listened revolution. To it. It was very good.
Thank you. It has two Oscar nominees in it now.
And neither of them are you.
Neither of them are me.
Who are the Oscar nominees?
Richard E. Grant and Sally Hawkins.
Pretty good cast.
That is pretty good.
Pretty good cast.
Best we've ever got. Wow. Sorry, everyone who's been the later ones.
I'm available, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I'm also available.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Many years after the revolution.
Right.
And the odd thing was that the looking at some of these scenes, the woman shaking the thing out the window and the woman with the jug and a couple of other things, it looked as though they were frozen, like waxworks, or they were doing like a tableau vivant, which, if you know French, means a scene that is alive.
Or these two posh girls from Oxford who were wandering through their garden and they were like, what are you doing in our garden?
Excuse me, this is
it. If we just stay still, they'll go away.
What are they doing?
This is a private party. les Anglais? Oui.
I was pissing by the window and I heard a shit.
Never gets old.
It doesn't.
So they decided eventually, about 10 years later, quite a while later, to publish their experiences under pseudonyms in 1911 as An Adventure. And so this got very, very popular. The public were lapping this up. They were like, ooh, time slip. This is all very exciting. Maybe they saw ghosts of the past. They also speculated that the dark-complexioned man, they couldn't stress enough how dark-complexioned he was, by the way, who was evil. Evil man with dark complexion. So that's
right,
good.
So is it possible they were afraid of the dark-skinned man?
I think yes.
Yeah, I'm getting that.
Well, the possibility, if it's really was a time slip, is that he was the, see if I can get this right, the Comte de Vaudreuil.
That's him, yeah.
Yeah. Who was a friend of the Queen.
His signature went on a bit.
Yeah. And he was also of Creole origin, so he would have had a dark
complexion. Band called the Coconuts.
Was he was he an evil man historically?
I think he had his friends and he had his enemies.
Haven't we all?
Well, I think he was unpopular because he was a favourite of the Queen and everyone hated that.
They didn't like Marie Antoinette, did they?
No, a lot of people didn't.
No.
Yeah.
For several reasons I've already mentioned, like pretending to be a peasant and just...
milking things.
Have you seen the Kirsten Dunst film?
No.
I was going to ask about that. Have you seen it?
I really enjoy it, but I don't think it's very good.
Is that where they put modern things in it?
Yeah, yeah, and it looks really pretty.
Yeah, punk, that was
it's got lots of pretty pictures.
Unless you're just calling me a punk, I don't know.
You punk? How dare you?
You creep.
Not have seen it. It's, wasn't it, Sophia Coppola's follow-up to Lost in Translation.
Yes, not as good, but...
it's got Jason Schwartzman, though, that's never a
does,
bad thing.
And
he's
got
a Coppola.
And it's got Steve Coogan,
Adrian,
who is not.
He is not a Coppola,
Adrian from
to
Rocky
my knowledge.
Is his mum.
Is that right?
Jason Schwartzman's mum is Adrian from Rocky. Who's Francis Ford Coppola's sister?
That's right, Talia Shire.
That's right.
Nick Cage is a Coppola.
He
well.
Is a Coppola.
He is. His real name is
Nick Coppola.
Nicholas Coppola. Do you know why he's called Nicholas Cage?
Because he can't be caged.
And he doesn't wear pants.
That's right. No, it's from the comic book character Johnny Cage.
Ah, yes.
Because he likes his comics. Do you know what his son's called?
Kal-El.
Kal-El.
Ghost Rider.
The other one's called Ghost Rider, the one he doesn't like very much. He was born with a flaming skull. Anyway, sorry.
He wants to forget that film.
We digress.
Yes, sorry. So they publish this. They keep their identities secret.
Yeah, for good reason.
Yeah, we can't deny that they weren't looking for fame. They probably thought that, as some of the pioneers of women's education, if they came out with this, everyone would think women were too stupid to go to Oxford.
Mm, instead of just these two.
So yeah. Well, we do tend to get blamed as a whole.
The pseudonyms they used, were they men's names?
No, it wasn't. It was ladies' names, but I can't remember. I wrote them down, but they were not.
Barbara Cartland.
Jane Austen and George Eliot, which was confusing.
I saw the grave of one of the Bronte sisters.
Was it where it was supposed to be?
Oh, just floating.
It was where it was supposed to be. There was a sign pointing towards it next to it.
Oh, right.
It was in Scarborough.
Oh, I was in Scarborough the other day.
That's very nice, though.
I did not see the grave of Charlotte Bronte.
It's up a really high hill, and by the time I got there, I thought, it's no wonder she died climbing this.
Climbing up there?
Yeah, it's a very steep hill. Sorry.
But she wasn't from Scarborough.
No, but I believe she liked it there. Maybe she was looking for a Heathcliff. I know she didn't write that book.
And then she fell off the cliff, looking for Heath.
Heathcliff the cartoon cat.
God, there's a blast from the past. Sorry.
Yes. So,
right.
Time slip.
Any other questions before I go on to my theory?
No, please go on to your theory.
I have a theory.
I have a theory
I think
as well.
The only theory.
I think you guys have definitely got some theories. Okay, first theory.
Yeah.
It was a sunstroke / shared hallucination, also known as a folie à deux. Folie à
deux, yes. I mean, go on. I see nothing nothing to imply any hallucinating happened at all, as they saw utterly mundane things.
Yeah. If they were like all elephants and bears and pterodactyls, I'd be like,
But they were old mundane things.
They saw a plough.
At Versailles.
Oh, yeah, I didn't mention
they tend to be quite conservative at Versailles, I think.
I didn't mention the plough was one that people don't use anymore.
Right, they don't use
a 100-year-old plough.
Right, at Versailles.
Yeah.
They have quite a lot of 100-year-old things at Versailles.
They might have been doing a recreation of something.
Yeah. So folie à deux is, if you don't know what that means, it means madness of two. And it's there's been a couple of famous cases, such as the Pepin sisters, which is basically where two people, often women, sort of have a shared madness where they see stuff or they murder someone. And then everyone likes to also link it to being lesbians.
There's that film, isn't there, by Peter Jackson?
Heavenly Creatures.
Heavenly Creatures, which is a true story as well.
Early Kate Winslet.
Yes, yes, exactly. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly the sort of thing. So they thought it might have been that because women are all crazy lesbians.
Yeah.
Fact. That is.
If they want to be, it's entirely their choice.
What are you saying? Being gay is a choice.
No. I'm saying if they want to be crazy lesbians, they're allowed.
Yes. Also hysterical women wanting attention sort of makes sense, but then they didn't actually, tell anyone because they were.
If they wanted attention, they would have published it under their own name, wouldn't they?
No. Yep. And
right, sisters.
Big pictures of themselves. Okay. Here is a theory I think you guys will enjoy.
Yes.
Apparently, at Versailles at the time, lived basically next door, a local eccentric called Robert de Montesquieu.
Very dark-skinned man, evil-looking.
Owned a plough.
Owned a plough. And servants. He made them wear tricorn hats.
Well, he frequently held fancy dress parties.
There we go.
Stamp it.
In the grounds of Versailles. However, there's no record of one happening that day.
Who has a record of their party?
Yes, because he has to hire out Versailles. He can't just wander in. He has to be like, I need to...
I don't think they were in Versailles.
Need to get catering. I need to get all this stuff.
They wandered off site. That is what happened.
It's all in the grounds.
All right.
So, yes, and he would frequently hold sort of tableau vivant stuff. Also, apparently, a lot of it was him and all his gay friends dressing up as women for fun. Okay. So, potentially, they didn't see Marie Antoinette. They saw a man in a dress.
Or just a woman under a tree.
Or a woman under a tree. but one of them didn't see her. This is what I'm saying.
People can look in different directions, especially when they're as drunk as these two clearly were. I mean, that is the piece of information they will omit from the record, isn't it? We just got lost, officer. I don't know. Don't know what happened.
Okay, my next theory.
You're talking to a tree.
My next theory, and I think you'll agree this is the most likely, time travel.
Right.
There was obviously like trauma in certain traumatic events cause slips in time to happen, rips in our the fabric of our universe, and that's what causes ghosts to appear.
So what was the trauma that caused
the Swiss Guard massacre and everyone getting quite tension, knowing everyone's going to get their heads cut off in about a week or so.
So not at the actual event.
Not at the actual event.
A week's anticipation at a massacre.
Or Marie Antoinette was just getting really frustrated with her drawing that day because she was trying to do a horse and they're really tricky.
And she couldn't find any eggs. And so
the trauma of that caused
maybe she milked a horse and was quite traumatised by that afterwards.
You can do it. So that was because it could have been the Comte de Vendrul and the Swiss Guard massacre. All right, that's theory. Then I think personally that it was probably aliens on a day trip.
Sure.
To Earth, and they got their time period wrong by about 100 years, and so they're sort of walking around in 18th century clothes, waving at people. But actually, when you, in period dramas, when like in Braveheart, they're all wearing kilts, and that's not historically accurate.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But people just assume.
And Highlander as well.
Mm.
So they.
Well, that is historically.
Didn't have kilts.
No, the whole film is very much true.
Oh, apart from the kilts, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The rest is all true.
Mm. Yeah.
They did have.
The quickening.
wobbly rubber axes. They did have those.
Sean Connery is Spanish.
Egyptian.
He's Egyptian.
Sorry, guys.
He worked for the King of Spain.
Sorry.
His name is Juan Pablo Ramirez.
I just don't know why they cast the most Scottish person in history in a film about Scotland.
As the only person who isn't Scottish in the film.
And a Frenchman as a Scottish person.
Yes. Yeah.
He's from lots of
now that's
places.
A fucking mystery, that is.
It is. We should do the casting of Highlander.
And the 1989 Brit Awards, please.
Is that the one with Samantha Fox?
Yeah, Mick Fleetwood.
I've seen that on compilation shows, so I know what you're talking about.
I watched it go out live. I'm still traumatised by it. I'm like these two women.
All of television history is contained in the Box of Delights.
I've climbed up Nelson's Column once before.
These are small.
And put it down in front of Bagpuss.
I'm Julia Rayside. Join me and my guests as we dip into our favourite TV memories.
Suppose Martin Hurley bashing her head like this.
You can't tell me what to do. You ain't my mother.
I love when a plan comes together.
Come and tell us what yours are too.
We've all been told we can't discuss nominations.
It's a bit of car air.
Shut up. With a novel on the top.
I think I'm like you, Lovejoy.
Find us on Twitter at Box Delights Pod and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Big Owl.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Yeah. Okay, my last theory.
Yes.
I think David will like this.
Okay.
I think the Russians set out to confuse the British and the French.
Now, I wasn't going to be with you on any of these, but yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Because they knew, you know, already the revolution is starting to take hold, you know, the waverings of revolution there. And they thought, you know what, we should probably get round to it now. Before the Cold War starts, we'll probably just really confuse all the
16 years before it happens.
Yeah.
Let's confuse two women in France.
Exactly.
Could have been a test run.
Yeah, of
their what's it called? You know, when you do psychological warfare.
Right, yes. Mm,
exactly, yeah. So all the Russians are dressing up in treacle and hats just to...
Just to freak them out.
Just to freak them out.
I have brought plough to confuse them.
Very good, Yuri. That is excellent. Initiative you have taken there to bring plough this way.
I have put a woman under tree.
Oh, that would be very confusing. It is not where a woman goes.
If you notice, it is here, and she might not. The other one might not see it.
Yes. Put a woman up in that window, because the only one will probably see that, while the other is distracted by the tree woman.
So you agree? It's a very solid theory.
It's a very solid theory. I have another theory.
You have theory.
I've listened to all the evidence.
Yeah.
And I have a theory that might blow this case wide open.
I doubt it.
Nothing happened at all. Two women got a bit lost.
Yep.
It was quite hot. They were drunk. That's why they wandered off from the crowd in the first place.
Yep.
They saw some of the same things and they were looking in different directions at other times. And then they rejoined their party. And that was it.
I mean, that sounds highly unlikely to me, but I will admit that although they personally said that they could never find any current maps with any of the stuff they'd seen on it, some other people did find some maps with
right,
some of that
yeah.
stuff on it.
So they're just not very good at navigating or paying attention to
where
they're
going. Women can't drive?
No, I'm
sounds
saying
like
these
women can't
two
drive.
Women...
I mean, I can't drive.
I can't drive.
Oh, I can drive.
Or navigate. I will often exit a shop and walk the wrong way.
Well, it is a very big... Versailles is a very, very big garden.
Yeah.
With lots of...
Fair enough. Also, the lack of wind. They could very well have been in a walled garden. Have they heard of walled gardens?
I think it might just have been a hot day.
A hot day in a walled garden. They've never found their way back to the walled garden.
No.
Also, you wouldn't. If you were wandering around not drunk, you'd go, oh, I'm probably not allowed in there.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think... All right, okay, let's say me and you are walking down a quiet road.
Okay.
And I see... And then we walk past a man with a monkey on a chain. I don't know.
Right, yeah. I mean, that is far weirder than anything they saw.
It's totally
just like, if we walk past a man who had two of his own legs.
All right, okay, let's say we walk past someone dressed... like a 1920s gangster.
Sure.
Okay, so weird enough to be noticeable, not so weird that it's like, everyone's like, what?
Yeah.
And I saw it, and you didn't.
Right. Was this in Shoreditch?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where everyone dresses like
you just
that.
You didn't notice it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I think if you go through a garden, there's nothing else to look at. You know, it's not like they're on a train. They're not just, she doesn't just whiz past that. She's sitting there under the tree.
Yeah.
How do you both not see?
I will tell you an anecdote that explains... That backs me up on this
All
one.
Right.
I once went scuba diving in Tenerife, and everyone else...
Sounds like he just wants to tell us he went to Tenerife.
Everyone else.
I've done so many things with David now, and this is the second time he's talking about scuba diving.
Yeah, it's true, actually.
Yeah.
It's probably the same story.
Yeah.
But everyone else on the dive saw a shark,
uh-huh.
and I did not.
Because
you know what? I did not look in the correct direction at the correct time.
Possibly they thought you were the shark.
Maybe they did. Maybe they did. I had my white wetsuit on with my fin backpack.
Yep.
I always take a backpack scuba diving.
I've got a theory.
What's that?
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I'd like to say two words to you. Have you heard of Mary Poppins?
Yes.
Here we go. This is what I'm talking about. Proper theories.
Okay, I'm sorry.
All right. She's visited these two, taken them back in time, through the chalk in the floor. They've seen historical people.
Yes.
They've had a sing-song.
Mm-hmm. Very
then
nice.
They've come out of the drawing.
Yes.
And I don't know if you've seen Mary Poppins Returns.
I have, yes.
Not yet.
At the end. Not a spoiler, this isn't.
Okay.
That sounded like Yoda then. she says, they'll forget in the morning. And Mary goes, they always do.
Oh.
Because I've dropped
Because my lessons are worthless.
So I think they've gone into a chalk drawing by Bert the Chimney Sweep.
Yes, the Chimney Sweep. Or the French equivalent.
Or the French equivalent, Le Bert.
Yes.
Is he, does he
do Madame Popine.
Very bad French accent.
Yes.
Bonjour.
It would be, Christopher Lambert is French. It would be the English, American equivalent of Christopher Lambert. Christophe Lambert.
It could just be Dick Van Dyke again.
Adam Sandler.
Doing a bad French accent.
Oh, Dick Van Dyke's very old, but he can still dance.
Who did a French accent? It was... God.
Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, Steve Martin.
Name.
Steve Martin. It's exactly who I was. Well done. Well Thanks. Read from my
there
face.
There we go.
Steve Martin as Le Bert.
Yes.
Le Chimney Sweeper.
Yes.
He says, come into my chalk picture. I will show you the past with my popping.
with my art.
And they go, the past quite underwhelming. Look, there is a woman under a tree. There is a plough. It is slightly different to the ones you have now.
And then they go on a merry-go-round with penguins.
Yep.
And they come out, and then they...
And they forget the penguin stuff, but they remember the plough and the woman.
They forget everything memorable and interesting. And they just remember the plough.
They don't remember the song.
The song was actually quite mediocre, probably good.
How did the song go, Jeff?
It went, look at the plough and the penguin and the woman under the tree. Look at me.
Do, do, do.
It's a jolly holiday with... The French equivalent of Mary.
Marie.
Marie.
There you go. Sold. So what are we going for then?
I like that one, actually.
I mean, it's the best theory.
How long have we done?
Other than the truth.
Have we done enough time for this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we've done 28 minutes.
Okay, great. Does that include the 4 minutes we did?
No, I've done some quick maths.
Oh, great. Sweet. In that case, I think we should go for chalk drawing Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
Fine.
I'm quite proud of that.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Well,
I like it. I think it pulls both our theories together.
What, of nothing happening?
Yeah. See, we're both, and that's how it works, because both opinions are equally valid, and that is how democracy works, is that even if my opinion is stupid, I should get to...
We have to compromise with it.
Yeah.
And also, I want to say, just for the record, you being a woman doesn't mean your opinion is invalid. If anything, it's more valid.
It's because I'm an idiot.
No. It's more valid, right?
I mean, I did choose a story about two stupid women, so it's all my own fault.
They're not necessarily stupid. They've just
confused.
Don't
patronise me.
They've been bewitched by song.
Yeah.
I think they believed it happened.
I agree. I think they did.
Yeah.
I think they did.
Most mad people think things happen.
Right. All people think things happen.
Imagine if this podcast wasn't happening and it was just a shared hallucination.
Sometimes I feel like it is. Once I thought someone talked to me when I was having a wee at a party.
Right, and they
I went into the toilet and I was having a wee. I'd been up a long time in the night and I heard someone say hello. And I got really freaked out. I went downstairs and just told everybody that I'd heard a ghost.
Yeah.
And it turned out a couple of days later, my friend had hidden in the shower.
Oh.
And I thought, that's funny, but you've watched me have a wee, which is a bit weird.
Right, yeah.
And if he's listening... You're weird.
He hasn't really pulled a prank on you. He's just sort of said hello, which is underwhelming.
It freaked me out, though. It was quite a scary way to say hello.
How did he say it?
Hello.
Yeah.
Don't forget to wipe.
Look at this plough. I was having a wee.
Don't forget to wipe.
He did have a plough, though.
Oh, how old?
How old? It was a really old one.
Right. Yeah. I'm interested.
Well, there can be no doubt that we've shut the lid successfully on that one. No one can even... I mean, they might as well burn the history books because we've solved it.
I thought we did.
Thanks very much for listening, if you did. And we'll see you next time.
We will not see anyone.
We won't see anybody. Oh, and also, thanks everybody who sent in mysteries for us to do. I did ask you to do that, and then we haven't used any of them.
Series 3.
Seriously.
Out.
It's not that they weren't very good. They were. One of them was absolutely brilliant, but I'd had my heart set on these from the last series.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we all did.
There's so many to get through.
Yeah.
Demystifying the world.
It takes a long time.
It's a difficult task.
That's nice, though. You know, it means we can keep doing it until we die.
It does. And someone did say that this is like a Radio 4 programme.
Oh.
Really?
I thought that's a very nice thing to say.
Oh, I think that's nice.
Unless they meant it in a derogatory sense.
Yeah, it was sort of whimsical and meandering.
Yeah. Well, talking of which...
Yeah.
Thank you very much and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, by the way, sorry, yeah. I should say.
Oh, what should you
I
say?
I forgot. I always forget this bit. You can follow the podcast at All Rather Pod. Eleanor is at Eleanor Morton. At Mr. David Reed, and I'm at Mr. Ken Shabby. If you want to follow us, get in touch with us. We'll ignore you then as well.
Do you think I should change mine to at Mr. Eleanor Morton? So that I'm,
that'll be good.
Yeah. You know what? I think you should. So let's keep on brand. Well, mine's not even my real name.
That's true.
It's Michael Palin's real name.
Michael Palin's real name, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Heavy Pencil, from the people who brought you Brian and Roger.
HJM Talent.
Yes, it's Michael. Is Margot there?
Michael?
Michael Cork.
Are you a client?
Yes, yes, I'm a client. I'm the actor Michael Cork. Could I speak to Margot, please? It's urgent.
I'm afraid she's doing her colouring in book at the moment. Can I take a message?
Yes, could you ask... Sorry, who are you?
Sarah Tiptree.
Right, are you Margot's new assistant or something?
Fliss is Margot's assistant.
Yes, yes, I know Fliss, I know that. Has she left?
No, I've been taken on as Fliss's assistant.
You're the assistant's assistant?
Yes, if you like.
Heavy Pencil by Anna Crilly and Tony Gardner.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.